in with us for the rest of the hour. Jefferson City Councilman Laura Ward, and en route, we understand, Councilman Correct. Rick Malevich.
Correct. Thank you. Yes. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to Laura. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Busy, busy discussions last night. Interesting discussion at the at City Hall about term limits. Fill us in.
Yes. It would be Proposition B on the ballot if we were to move it through. We have until 6 p.m. on January 22nd to do that. However, we decided we would like to hear more public input and have a work session. But it would allow, currently, a city council member can serve for two-year terms, 8 years, and this would allow someone who wanted to continue serving their community to sit out a term and then go back on the ballot if they wanted to serve some more.
That seems like that could be a good fit for a lot of people, because the way people's lives kind of change, you know, your priorities change and all, especially people maybe with younger kids and all.
Correct. And I, you know, I think it'll keep diversity, you know, those that are really interested who do fall onto hardships or our family obligations, and they could still come back once they take care of those things. And so, you know, I'm supportive of it, but I'd like to hear the public's input on that, how they feel.
What started that discussion? Where did that come up from?
I believe there are certain council members that are reaching that term limit and are looking into the future of still wanting to contribute, you know, to our community.
Talk about the angle, I guess, maybe institutional memory. That is a phrase that's thrown around so much as you can relate to. When term limits went to the voice of the people here statewide a number of years ago, but that was a big part of it. A lot of the folks said, well, you know, that's good and you're limiting, but on the opposite side, the other side of that coin is you eliminate some of that institutional knowledge.
Correct. And you know, you do have to be careful of that, but, you know, I think setting out and having a break, it does allow others in the community who may want to come forth and serve to give them an opportunity to do so too, a new fresh name on the ballot. So
yeah, you know, when we talk about it, you know, you guys kind of mapped it out and looked at it from the city council side, but this would also talk about the mayor's term limits, correct?
It would it also would be a sitting out period, and then, you know, a candidate would be able to run again.
So the mayor right now, two 4-year terms,
two 4-year,
is that right?
Also
okay.
4 years, correct.
Okay. You know, I think people kind of look at this and they say, well, you know, term limits are really a good thing, you know, and you need to get those people moved on before they get stale and they get they get inside and become career politicians and those kinds of things. And I think what we've found out in a lot of cases is that, you know, it sounds like 8 years. Well, that's such a long time. Well, you start, and especially I come at this from the state legislative point, but also I imagine within the city as well, it's very important. You start getting into situations and you start handling different legislation, and you find that it takes a while, exactly. 3-4 years maybe, to bring something, maybe one thing, to fruition. And at that point, you say, well, my gosh, you know, I've only got 3 or 4 years left, and I've been working 3 or 4 years on one issue.
Correct, and that's a perfect example. You know, I've served 4 years, and yeah, at the beginning of my term, first term, we began the East Capitol redevelopment, and that's been several phases. And right now, we're just to the point where, you know, we're starting to accept proposals for the properties in those areas. One property on State Street has been awarded. Jackson Street, 103 Jackson Street, is currently up for accepting proposals, and now we're working on 101 and 105. So it was a long process. So I agree with you that it takes a long time for legislation and projects to see fruition, and it's good to have those who have worked on it from the beginning and want to see it to the end.
Jefferson City Councilman Laura Ward in with us this morning, 556-6397 on KWOS. Open air, calls, questions, text messages are okay. Brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. Bit of a learning curve, especially on that East Capitol development thing for everybody involved, wasn't it? This was something new for Jefferson City to pursue something like this, to take over some pre-existing properties and try to move them into the positive.
It was, and you know, everyone did their due diligence and their research, and, you know, we hired outside consultants to look into that area to determine if it was blighted and that we if we needed to take that route, it was determined. So, you know, we partnered with the Housing Authority to continue with that process, and hopefully soon we'll be seeing some turnaround in that area.
What have you heard? What is the Housing Authority willing to do with those properties?
Well, currently they're...
I know they have one within their bounds now, right?
They do, and then they start accepting proposals. And there's a lot of criteria that people have to meet to include in those proposals. I believe they, once awarded, I believe you have 15 or 18 months to finish the project. You can't sell it within that time period. Also have to work with city staff on any permits, and have to also adhere to the overlay district guidelines, so no one is changing the look and the feel of the streetscape.
So will the Housing Authority actually make the decision on who gets to do the development, or will the city be in, the city council be in on that?
The Housing Authority makes that determination, their board.
Okay.
I think it's interesting, though, to point out every time we have Jamie Abbott and the crew in from planning, mm-hmm. that crew over there, that there has been no
busy.
Problem with a whole lot of folks having a whole lot of interest in those properties.
Correct.
Over there.
And it's exciting. You know, the first property wasn't located on Capitol mm-hmm. Avenue. It was on State Street, you know, a back street. So it's exciting that we do have a proposal that was awarded for that particular property, even though it's not on the East Capitol streetscape.
Same general neck of the woods,
that's
right?
Correct.
KWS Open Air, Councilman Laura Ward in with us this morning. KWS 556-6397. Take a break. We'll come back. Maybe talk about right next door, MSP, and that redevelopment when we come back with the councilman, Laura Ward, on KWOS Open Air. KWOS Open Air, brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. Councilman Laura Ward, and joining us as well, Councilman Rick Mihaljevic from the city of Jefferson. 556-6397, our number, calls, questions, text messages, okay, for our guest. Rick, welcome in, sir.
Well, thank you. I was spending too late last night watching the Alabama game with Carlos Graham.
Yeah, yeah. Carlos Graham, that gentleman, I think, correct me if I'm... mistaken, but I think the aforementioned councilman was a graduate of the Crimson Tide.
Yes, and he proudly displays that most of the time.
Maybe not this morning.
Before we jump into we were talking to Laura a little bit more about MSP and some of the historic properties and all, your take on the discussion last night on discussion potential tweaking of term limits as they affect the council and the mayor.
I think our concern last night was we needed additional opportunities for public debate. We had a check mark to suspend the rules so it'd get on the ballot in April. The council made, I think, the right decision to have an additional council meeting on the 14th to allow the public one more time. And while I'm comfortable with, I'd say 90% of it, my only thing that I'm not really that comfortable with is changing the bill sponsor. And it's kind of if you've been on the council and you sponsor a bill, you have a little bit more control of that bill and how it's used and deliberated, and the proposed changes I'm not comfortable with at this time. But other changes were kind of not technical in nature, yes, and so I don't know that I have a lot of problem with that, other than I just would need the opportunity for more public input.
And that's what it's all about next week, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, now this is a change to the city charter, which I believe Councilman Fitzpatrick, I saw last night, was saying it's almost a holy document. So, I mean, you guys don't go into this just willy-nilly, because there haven't been many changes to the charter since it was drawn up, John, how many years ago? 30?
We'll have to check with Carolyn McDowell, but yes, 30-plus, yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah, it's our constitution.
Yeah. And we put it in the hands of the voters to really make that ultimate decision. So even whatever decision we make, the voters have the ultimate authority, and we're beholden to their vote.
Well, Laura, talk to us a little bit, and Rick as well. Feel free to jump in. We'll talk a bit about the East Side redevelopment, and MSP plays right into that. MSP, and then when last time we talked to Mayor Turgeon, we kind of commented, it's a little bit on the back burner right now, but there is a method to the madness of going slow on this, because you get one crack at it, don't you?
Correct, and there's a lot of other exciting things also occurring in that area on the horizons that's going to also help the whole redevelopment. Last night, we had the first reading of the redevelopment of the International Shoe Company, the factory, and what is being proposed there with residential and entertainment. So that'll definitely help that area also. It's wonderful adaptive reuse of that historic building, so I'm really excited to see that happening. You're correct, we have one stab at it, and currently the Redevelopment Committee is working on some pre-qualification requirements for potential developers. You know, we want to make sure, you know, what we decide to put in there is a good fit and needed for our city.
Rick, you can relate. We've heard, so many different things from the very earliest stages of talking about maybe the city could get deed to some of the acreage or some of the property at the old prison over there. Some of the things were kind of out there that were talked about, and some of the things, you know, I think kind of narrowing the focus maybe a little bit to more doable kinds of things.
Yeah, and the dog has caught the car in this case.
We do.
And, yeah, that we were going through the committee that's a partners committee of stakeholders. Let me go forward, is the conveyance of that property was a big trust factor from the state to give the property to the city of Jefferson. And it's because of the hard work by our Commission of Visitors Bureau and turning that money and putting it back into the facilities and the popularity of our visits to that property. I think was a big part of us getting the ownership to the MSP, and now the state has conveyed that to us and requires us to have certain amount of activities that would occur on it, but restrict some. We have to start a development process within a certain length of time, and if we don't, it reverts back to the state. Hmm. So we're in the process of pre-qualifications for a developer who would come in and say, we have this creative idea, we could do this, and the committee will select three or four, and we'll pay them to come back with a proposal, that a bona fide proposal of what they would develop and how they would develop it. So when we say pre-qualifications, it's to get the interest out there. And then once we get that interest, then we're going to narrow it down and then identify a few to really put together a plan that is beyond the scope of what Central Missourians probably think. We need more of a national entertainment scope. So we get the best possible use out of that that property.
We have a caller, so lady and gentlemen, slide into your headphones there, and we will bring the caller on the air. Good morning. You're on open air with the city councilman.
Yes, good morning. I was on the phone, I was listening to, I think it was Mr. Mihaljevic. I was listening to him, and I could lend something in on all of that, too. I mean, my gosh. They should already know what's to go on that property after 20 years. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't know what the standoff is, although I'm against it all. They should already know what's going, what is the holdup. And also, I'm against the term limits. You become too comfortable in your position, and if you become all yes people, yes, yes, yes to everything. And then there's nobody can come in with opposition. You get groomed to a position. This is my view on following politics on the outside and looking in for all so many years, even on the national scene. Look at how comfortable they all are. So that's my view. Only one person with 2%, with just 2 cents worth of nothing. But anyway, I put it out there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. I think you bring up a couple of good points, and I think we deal with a lot of different diversity in terms of opinions, and I, for one, are termed out, and I think if I had the option to run, I don't know that I would after 8 years. So there's a lot of ways that you could look at that. In regard to MSP, I happen to be a part of the original charrette that occurred in the Truman Building, and it was overnight, and we had lots of great ideas, and you take a lot of great ideas and you put it together, and you still hardly could come up with the best plan. So to in general, we have a master plan for the MSP property that was developed by the state, probably influenced by the charrettes that took place, but for it to be an economic development engine and to serve the city and the region, I just believe we really don't, we need the outside looking into us. I don't know that we have all the answers locally. So I feel a little different maybe than you on this, but I appreciate your comment.
Has there been any of, again, I'm sure there has, with the whole process with the city committee, looking at other like properties and what some other communities have done with their old prisons and all, whether they just left them as is from a tourism standpoint or tried to develop them into entertainment/retail venues?
Yeah, there is quite a bit of knowledge out there and examples of turning them into hotels and other entertainment districts. So that's what we got to learn from, is what they're doing nationally. We got to learn what they're doing in areas that are like us. And then this is a particular challenge because Jeff City is a unique town in regard to how we're positioned on the Missouri River, how we can leverage that, how we can leverage this old site and respect the history of it. And I just think we have to approach it fairly carefully, and we have to approach it with the best we can get in terms of developers.
It is a challenge, and like Laura said, and the rest of the council has echoed, you get one crack at it, don't you?
You do. It's a very unique site, and I agree with Councilman Mihaljevic's comments too, that you know, we have to make sure that we preserve the history that's there too, and are sensitive to that area, at not only right there, but as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Laura Ward, Councilman Rick Mihaljevic from the city of Jefferson with us this morning on KWOS Open Air. We always run out of time. More for our next discussion when we come back with the councilman. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and happy